Welcome into the Lucas and Lucas podcast. On the day an earthquake strikes the tri-state area, I don't remember the last time I ever felt an earthquake. It may have been the very first earthquake I ever felt. It woke me up at 10:23 this morning. I thought someone upstairs was doing a heavy load of laundry. The entire bed shook. The whole room that I was in shook. And I've been up ever since. So that's where we're at here on this beautiful Friday, April 5th, 2024. As the Yankees are being shut out through 8 innings against the Toronto Blue Jays, on the verge of being shut out for the second time in 8 games, and it's pretty embarrassing.
I mean, what are they, 6-1?
Yeah, but I mean, just being shut out in 2 games through 8 games is it's pretty embarrassing. And Giancarlo Stanton's an absolute disgrace. He is worse than he's ever been. He strikes out every single time. And when Jason Dominguez comes up, they're going to bench him or DFA him. And and he's the luckiest person on earth that Juan Soto's on the team instead. Juan Soto's been terrible the last 5-4 games, but Stanton is so lucky that Soto was on this team. Otherwise, Stanton would be getting vilified and crucified like he never has before.
Yeah, I mean, he has got the fortunate veil card that he's no longer the face of the offense outside of Aaron Judge. Like, it's not Aaron Judge and John Carlos. It's Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. And now he's fallen down the list, which is a sad reality because he's making $330 million. He's one of the highest paid players in baseball still. And frankly, like, Frank, what's his value now? If he hit the open market now, would he get $10 million a year?
1 year, $2 million.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, it is the worst contract in sports, I think, right now.
I have to do a little more deeper dives on that, but Russell Wilson's had a pretty atrocious contract.
Yeah, but like Russell Wilson, he wasn't good last year, but he did throw 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I don't know. I know it's not equivalent to baseball stats, but like for Stanton, I feel like the Russell Wilson season would be hit 215 and 38 home runs, but strike out 285 times. You know what I'm saying? Like Russell was competent last season. His team just sucked. A lot of his numbers were garbage time numbers. I'm not trying to say he played better than he did. Like Denver made the right decision to move on. They needed to make a change at quarterback, but it wasn't like Russell was out there just completely horrific.
So Anthony Rendon has 2 years. He's making $38 million this year. I don't believe he has a hit this year for the Angels.
He does not.
And the number one worst contract is Steven Strasburg, who's still getting paid $23 million this year and has 2 years, $47 million left on his deal with the Nationals. And by the way, he already basically retired, and he has $80 million deferred money from 2027 to 2029. So nothing will be worse than Strasburg, who's, I mean, out of the game. Has been out of the game for a while and been a non-factor since the 2019 World Series. So if you're looking for worse contracts, Stan's obviously not good, but Rendon and Strasburg are worse just because of the fact that Rendon's a literal zero and Steven Strasburg's, I mean, he's retired.
But he doesn't exist in baseball. Okay, fair. But either way, he's as bad as it gets. It's as bad as it gets.
Yeah. Anyway, so I thought it was interesting today that Bronny James officially, well, he declared for the NBA draft, but did not hire an agent, still has remaining college eligibility. And I think it's blatantly obvious. Great, I didn't watch a ton of Bronny James this year, but I watched, I mean, we covered USC, so a good, I've seen him play, and it's clear that, like, if his name was Josh Edwards, like, he would probably enter the transfer portal, but that would be it. Like, the whole idea about him being in the NBA is because of his last name, and the last name before I toss it over to you, if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, and I would out of a million times draft Bronny James, guarantee him a roster spot if it meant LeBron signs with your team. And I wouldn't think twice about it.
Well, LeBron's not a free agent this year, so...
Well, he can opt out.
What?
He has a player option.
Yeah, but he's not going
to... To play with Bronny? If there was an NBA team, and LeBron, listen, Bronny's clearly not ready for the NBA. Barely averaged, 5 points per game for USC, who missed the tournament, went under 500. Like...
LeBron is still... In my opinion, LeBron is still... Because we've had this conversation about Cleveland 100 times. They have a late first-round pick. Would you use it on Bronny James? I can't see
if it meant LeBron comes with him.
No, I know. You're not just using a first round pick on Bronny because you think he's a first round talent. And by the way, I think Bronny's way better than he showed this season. A lot of us have forgotten that he essentially died right before the year. Like his heart stopped. He had to have complete cardiac. He went in complete cardiac arrest. So judging his overall game off a season where during the preseason ramp up period, he was, you talk about zeros. I'm not making a joke. He essentially died. He was brought back to life. He was revived. So, I'm making no judgments off what I saw this year. I need to see him back in college before I have any real idea if he's capable of playing at that level. But for all these guys, he's one of like 50 guys, Frank, that are going to enter their name in the draft, retain eligibility, and then not go in the draft. You do it so you can go to the workouts. Maybe you catch a heater. You make 107 out of 123s in front of a scout, and one team loves you. But the only one you hear about is Bronny James because his name is Bronny James. So in that regard, you're right. But what he's doing is not unique.
Right. Well, it's unique in the sense that I do believe, Mike, that if his name was Josh Edwards or whatever, or Jerry or Chris, not Chris, Jeff Lucas or Jeff Frankel,
Sure. Whoever, yeah.
like then he would under no possibility would he even declare. Like you'd
But
have to be an idiot to
there's no
declare for the
harm in
NBA
declaring
draft.
them. There's no harm in declaring.
But like it wouldn't even be like an option. Like if some guy, Josh Edwards from
From
South Dakota
Minnesota.
State, averaged 5 points per game and only played like 10 minutes a game, declares for the draft, like okay, you fool! Like you
But there's
almost
no
make
harm. You
yourself
could,
the.
in today's rules, you could go back. Declaring for the draft is literally signing one piece of paper and sending it in.
All
Like,
right, I whatever.
I think you're making way too big of the deal that he's declaring. He's one of, no joke, 100 players that will declare for the draft that won't be draft eligible. They'll pull their name back. You go, you get a chance to talk to scouts, you talk to the NBA draft committee board, which gives you a projected grade. Hey, the projected grade is undrafted. All right, you go back to school, but you don't get that grade unless you declare for the draft, right? So I think your premise is right. This is only a story because it's Bronny James. He is one of 50 to 100 players who will do the exact same thing over the next couple of weeks. We won't hear about them because they're nobodies.
But
We
like
hear about it because it's Bronny.
a freshman who averaged 5 point, how many freshmen who averaged less than 6 points per game are like rushing to enter the NBA draft?
I saw the dude, the Ringer, put out their mock draft, and I like Kevin O'Connor a lot. Like, I think he's really
Right.
good. He had Stephon Castle as the number two overall pick in the draft, Frank.
From UConn.
Yeah. Do you know how many points a game he's averaging?
I have
Number
no
two
idea.
overall pick, not just to get drafted, number two overall pick in the draft.
No idea.
9.7 points per game. And we're
I
talking about a
mean,
guy, number two overall pick versus hopefully being drafted. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, stats don't matter in that sense. It obviously helps. Your big premise is right. This is only a story because it's Bronny. The big picture, you're right. The truth of the matter is there's 100 dudes that are doing exactly what Bronny's doing, and none of them will get discussed except Bronny because of who he is.
I mean, so Stephen Castle, Stephon Castle, however you pronounce it, was a five-star recruit, one of the top players in class of 2023. Averaged 10 points a game this season, so not nine, so 10. Had some solid games where he scored over 20 points. I mean, he's also sharing the ball with Tristan Newton, who's also a stud, and Donovan Clingan is going to be a lottery pick.
You could
So,
say that about USC. They had Isaiah
Collier.
Collier, who, I mean, like, listen, you could try. I see the point you're trying to make, Frank. It's only a story because it's Bronny. What he's doing is normal. It just doesn't get talked about
No,
for
it's
any
not. But
reason.
the thing is, it's not normal because you're right. A lot of guys do declare for the draft that don't belong in the draft. But Bryant has no business, like, based on the season he had and like his health situation, he has no business declaring for the NBA draft. But he's only doing it because he knows that there's a possibility that he will draft him because of his last name and because of the fact that him and LeBron James are basically attached at the hip. And if you get one, you get the other.
I bet you Andrew Hurley, Dan Hurley's son, also declares for the NBA draft this
No,
season.
he's
Just
not.
the record.
I will bet you whatever money I have that he does not declare for the draft. He's not getting. He barely. Are you kidding me, Mike?
But there, well, hey, listen, if I was a senior at UConn and I played 1 minute and I had a chance to declare for the NBA draft, why the hell wouldn't you?
Yeah, but all right.
Why
Well,
not?
you're being way too literal with this, and it's honestly, it's obnoxious.
I think you're trying to make something out of nothing here. It is your point is right. But once again, this is a non-story. He did what he's gonna.
Well, the reason why it's sore because I think the Nets should draft him and get LeBron.
Sure, he's not gonna be in the draft though. He's gonna play at Duquesne next year.
You think he's going to Duquesne?
LeBron's best
I
friend
know that. I
is at
know that
Duquesne. I think
LeBron's
he's
best
gonna end
friend
up going
coaches,
to
but like,
Duquesne. He's gonna go to Duquesne,
and
Frank, and average like 23 points a game next season, and have a best chance to be a first-round pick when LeBron's a free agent, and then they'll play together.
it's. I mean, it's interesting in the fact that like, I think LeBron pushed Bronny to USC because. Of he's the fact that he lives in LA, plays for the Lakers. So like, I feel like LeBron is going either wants to either play with Bronny or be somewhere close to where he can go to a lot of his games. So that to me is a big factor in this. I don't know how it's sort of gonna shake out here. But we'll see. Anyway, I have no idea what the Buffalo Bills are doing. They've literally gutted their entire team. They've lost Stephon Diggs now. They traded to the Texans. Gabe Davis in free agency. They lost Poyer and Micah Hyde, also a free agent. Released Tre'Davious White. They lost Mitch Morse. I mean, my God. If there's any team like going this way, it's the Buffalo Bills. And I don't see how they are going to be better than they have been in the last few years here, given the moves they made. And if I'm the Jets, this is a huge gift of what's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is the unfortunate result of paying a quarterback a lot of money that every couple of years you're going to have a year or two where you have to cycle out older players that are making a ton of money to be able to then reinvest in your team and rebuild. The Chiefs did it by trading Tyreek Hill. It wasn't to the extreme level they had to do that Buffalo's going through right now, but look at the guys they let go of. Poyer and Hyde, older safeties. It's a position you can
But literally,
replenish.
when I think of the Bills, I think of like Poyer and Hyde like holding their like they're like the first pair of the podium together after every Bills game. They're like I feel like they're the heart and soul of that defense.
Listen, I'm not saying I agree. I'm just telling you the thought process behind it. But two aging safeties, and typically safeties is a place in free agency in the draft you can replace pretty easily. You let Tre'Davious White go, who when healthy is really good, struggles to stay healthy. Gabe Davis, I think, is overrated. And Stephon Diggs, I don't know what the hell the beef was between Diggs and Allen, but there was clearly some sort of rift there. And your franchise quarterback, who's younger than the franchise receiver, is going to win that battle 100 out of 100 times. So they definitely need and are lacking some weapons. We saw them late in the season last year rely on the run game with James Cook a lot more. They reinvested in their offensive line. So I would expect to see a different look Buffalo offense in 2024. But with Josh Allen at quarterback, Frank, they're still dangerous.
I mean, yeah, and then they're going to be throwing at Dalton Kincaid a lot. Yeah, you mentioned they also have James Cook. So, like, they will have weapons and they'll probably draft a receiver as well. So, we'll see how it turns out. But if I'm the Jets, I'm like, all right, we have a little bit of an opportunity here
Absolutely.
to inch closer to the top overall spot in the AFC East. But as the Yankees give up another run, unbelievable. This team's a
What's the score?
disgrace. It's now 2-0 Blue Jays here at the top of the ninth. They just threw a wild pitch with the bases loaded. Not good. I do love what the Jets did, though. I love that the Jets have gotten three new offensive linemen, Mike Williams, Hassan Reddick. They have a chance to draft another stud, either offensive lineman or receiver at 10. I just think that, given the weaknesses of last year, and assuming Rodgers is healthy, they have a whole new rebuilt O-line. They got to have one or two or three, really solid additions to the receiver room. I feel like, and I could be a sucker, I just feel like the recipe is there for this team to. They should win the AFC East, in my opinion.
Better. I mean, health is obviously a giant factor for the Jets, just like it is for all teams in the NFL. You're relying on a couple of offensive linemen. Tyron Smith, when healthy, super talented, been productive, a little older. Vera Tucker coming off injury, but a stud. Morgan Moses was the other tackle they signed, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, Morgan Moses.
Yeah, he's been up and down, but they have pieces. It's a matter of, is Aaron Rodgers who the Jets thought they were acquiring last season? Can he come back healthy and back to MVP form after an Achilles injury? Or have we seen the best days of Aaron Rodgers? And that's a question we're not going to be able to answer until week one of the NFL season, Frank. So I like the prospects. I like all the pieces of their team. Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, who's also always hurt, Breece Hall. That's a hell of a trio of weapons. Now, do you have the guy to get him the ball? And that question lingering around Aaron Rodgers is going to kind of determine everything. And you can have every team. The quarterback determines the win-loss. I get it. Aaron Rodgers is a complete unknown coming off that Achilles.
But I mean, I think the medical science now these days is so good that, like, in the past, like Achilles is a career ender. I don't think it's in the last like 5 or 6 years, especially. I just don't think that's the case anymore. Like you see the way Durant's come back from it, and I just feel like it's a lot. I mean, if the Jets were in the race, Rodgers would have played at the end of last year. So,
That's what he
we'll see. I mean,
says.
we'll see how he
I
looks.
don't believe that. That's what he says, but
By the way, the biggest disgrace in sports right now is is the owner of the A's, John Fisher. I'm sure you've
Yes.
been following the story very closely. I don't know how this guy is allowed to be an owner. Like, the way he is sabotaging baseball in Oakland is like, it's almost
It's
criminal.
disgrace. It's a legit disgrace.
And if I'm Manfred, like, you gotta like step in and like strip the team and force him to sell the team and like find someone who will, because there's got to be someone, especially in the Silicon Valley area, who will, who's grew up an A's fan, who has $1 billion or however many billions of dollars that you need to buy the A's to keep them in Oakland or keep them in that Bay Area for the long term. And the fact that he goes up there on the press conference and is like, can't wait to watch all of our all the stars like Aaron Judge come here and hit home runs against us. It's like, how tone
He
deaf
has
can you
no
be?
idea a single player on his own team. He has zero idea. He couldn't name a single Oakland A right now.
Yeah, I'm just appalled that like that baseball is letting this guy get away with this. And it's a shame that the A's had to play in that, or they didn't get their stadium situation worked out, because before that, I don't know, I've done a lot of research on this. Before they built that center thing in center field, they call it Mount Davis, and that's it. It used to be like a pretty nice stadium with like a really cool backdrop and a great fans and a great atmosphere, but now it's ruined by this monstrosity in center field that just makes it a complete eyesore. And the fans are, every game is like there's no one there, and
It's
it's
bad.
hard. It's I feel awful for those fans, and I wish that I just wish someone would be able to like step in. And I feel like there's got to be a clause for ownership, for owners in baseball, that if you're clearly like demonstrating that you don't give a crap, then something action can be taken where you lose the team or you're forced to sell the team, is how
Yeah,
I would.
it sucks that someone like Fisher in this instance has the money to buy a team, but no interest in actually being an owner. Like it seems like he has zero interest
So
whatsoever.
he's his parents owned
The Gap. The
the
Gap.
Gap.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, so he had the money.
He's kind of, I
He
mean,
bought the team.
he's like Woody Johnson or like James Dolan. Like James Dolan inherited everything from his father. Woody Johnson inherited everything from, you know, the Johnson and Johnson people who started that whole business
Yeah.
operation. So he's, yeah, it's a handy down. And these handy down owners, I think, and Mark Davis also, who's I mean, he built a nice stadium, but
But I just mean
Rick.
in general, and it's funny that they both moved to Vegas from Oakland, ironically. But like
We'll see if it actually happens though, because they're having similar stadium issues
in Vegas. But I
in
would say
Vegas.
big picture with Fisher, if you own a sports team, it should be a requirement, and the Dolans in Cleveland are the same way. It should be a requirement that you give at least one flying F about the team. For lack of a better word, Frank. And this whole Fisher situation in Oakland, it's never been more obvious to me that there are just certain owners that do not care about actually owning a team. They look at it simply as a business. I'm here. I want to make money. It's a guaranteed ticket that's going to cash. It may take a little while, but I'm going to, these franchise values are going way up and way up and way up. And he just doesn't care. And he's shown nothing over the last 4 or 5 years with this team that would give you any inclination or make you think even for 1 second he gives a rat's ass about the team, the franchise itself, the fans. He's just here to make a buck. And by moving to Vegas, theoretically speaking, it's a bigger payday for him. But he doesn't care about the city. He doesn't care about its fans. He doesn't care about its players. He doesn't care about whether or not the team is good or not. He doesn't care.
And this is the first time in my life where like I was too young to see that, like, or to really, I think, understand the situation with the Supersonics moving from Seattle to OKC, and I guess the same similar deal with I guess it was just a similar deal with the Raiders situation, moving from Oakland to Vegas. But this is like the first one where it's like, oh my God, like how is this guy getting away with this? Like,
Yeah.
terrible. But
Well, did you
so
see real
the
quick before? Did you see that the people of Kansas City voted against?
Yeah, I saw it, but I guess I don't really understand why. It's about like taxpayer money. Like the
Yeah.
Chiefs aren't
So
the.
we had Matt Miller of ESPN, the draft guy, on our show today, and he's a Kansas City fan. And we started with the draft and ended up talking about this, and it was fascinating that Kansas City and the Chiefs owner essentially wants to renovate the stadium, but only wants to pay for half of it. And he wants public funding for the other half. It'll be like $1 billion. He wants to put up $500 million. He wants the city to put up $500 million, and the Royals also want in on it. So it was like $1 billion from taxpayers and $1 billion from these two owners to renovate the Royal Stadium, the Chiefs Stadium. And it got voted against. And he said, he's like, I can't vote. I don't live in that area. But had I been able to vote, I would have voted no with the people. So we asked, do you mind telling us why? And he said, I'm not putting my taxpayer money to go build luxury suites for the owner's friends. Like, you know, that's where the money's going to go to. It's to build more ancillary luxury suites that they can sell at these crazy prices. And he's like, listen, if they want to build it, great. It's good for the stadium. But I'm not going to help fund an already billionaire when he could afford it himself. He was just named the fifth richest owner in the NFL. He clearly could afford to do it by himself without any of us. And there's so many better uses for money in Kansas City and our tax money to go to than building suites and enhancing, the parking for the elite. He's like, I wouldn't put my money to that. And it's
I mean,
happening right here in Cleveland too, Frank. The stadium, less than a mile to my left here, is in desperate need of renovations. The lease is up in 2028. The Haslams want to build a dome 20 minutes that way in Brook Park, as opposed to renovating the downtown stadium. But they don't want to pay the full $2 billion to build a stadium. They want half it in taxpayer money. And I come to a stance, and I've changed my thoughts on this a while ago, or not a while ago, recently. Owners should pay. Like, they're billionaires. Jimmy Haslam just sold Flying Pilot J for $13.2 billion, Frank. He could afford his own damn stadium. He'll make that back in ticket sales in no time. Like, stop asking people in one of the poorest cities in America to front your new toy when you have the money to. Be like, Frank, hey, I know I can pay for dinner tonight, but you want to split it with me 50-50? Like, you want to Venmo me $20 so I can get an extra order of wings and my beer? Like,
I do think though that the Hunt family, unlike John Fisher, like Lamar Hunt was like one of the pillars of like football
I'm not
in
saying,
the
real quick, let me say this, because I don't want my words to be taken out of constructed. I'm not saying Clark
no
Hunt's a bad owner. I'm not saying Jimmy Haslam's a bad owner.
no
John
no
Fisher's a bad owner.
I'm
I'm just
saying like
saying the big
I don't
premise
know
of taxpayers paying for money.
I don't think the Chiefs are ever gonna leave Kansas City. I know there's been like oh the whole like maybe a threat about them going to Nashville, but I think that's just a bargaining ploy. But whatever, I'm not gonna get super caught up or stressed out about what's going on with the Chiefs. It's just surprising that like all these Super Bowls in the last 4 years, like 3 and 4 years, whatever it is, 3 and 5, whatever it ended up being, that like they must have made so much money from this run. But yeah, I know what you're saying that like why can't he just pay for it? I don't know. I'm not in these. I don't know like the ins and outs of all these things for me to say like I get owners or they are in this to make money and I don't know. You would think that owning an NFL team means you have all the means to do whatever you want and you're making all this money as the owner of the team, but I don't know. Whatever. The Final Four is in Cleveland tonight. What's the for the women's side, I should say.
Crazy.
One of the most anticipated Final Fours we've ever seen on the women's side, obviously with Caitlin Clark undefeated, South Carolina, UConn, and NC State is there. Also, the men's team is there. So like that's the only excitement I see around NC State. But what's the buzz like in Cleveland now with will you be at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse for these games?
I will. I'm heading out. That's part of the reason it's been so crazy, Frank, because I'm trying to squeeze 87,000 things in today before I got to head up there in about an hour
Did you get free
to,
tickets?
I got press pass.
Oh, you got press rental.
Yeah, I got a
Wow.
press pass. So,
Very nice.
I'll be up there. I'm very excited. The city is electric right now. So, on top of the Final Four this weekend, Frank, the Guardians home opener is Monday and the Eclipse is Monday. And Cleveland's the biggest U.S. city in 100% totality of the Eclipse. So, this whole weekend, starting yesterday to Monday, prolonged 4 day stretch, Cleveland's kind of the epicenter of the sports world. And you could feel, just walking down the street, there are, posters of Caitlin Clark and Paige Bueckers and Dawn Staley and NC State and their coach, Wes Moore, plastered all around the city. There are fans walking around since the teams arrived here on Tuesday. I've seen more Iowa gear than I've seen any team not named the Browns. I'm talking Cavs and Guardians gear, Frank. There's been more people walking around in just Iowa swag and Caitlin Clark jerseys and South Carolina sweatshirts. It feels like a big time event in the way I haven't seen anything feel in this city outside of a Browns game. Nothing on top of Browns game here. But I've seen Cavs playoff games. I've seen Guardians playoff games. And this Final Four, from my people may disagree. I'm just telling you my two cents and opinion. The excitement and the amount of just sheer anticipation for what's going to happen tonight and Sunday has trumped any postseason game I've seen for Cleveland. And granted, the Cavs got smoked in the playoffs last year. The Knicks beat them 4-1. But the Guardians played the Yankees in the playoffs 2 years ago. And I'm telling you, the excitement for this trumps an ALCS or ALDS,
But
excuse
like,
me.
but is it like a national excitement or is it like a local Cleveland like city
Well,
excitement?
because everyone's here, it feels like it's a mix. We didn't talk any really women's basketball throughout the season, but our numbers on the women's basketball clips that we've done this week have been tremendous. And I think it's a perfect combination of Caitlin Clark being here and UConn being here and some major names like Dawn Staley and South Carolina being undefeated. I don't think it would have the same buzz if, it was four other teams, but because it is, and because so many people have descended upon the city this week, Frank, you can't get a hotel room. It's sold out. Whole city's packed. Like it's been awesome. And I cannot wait to head over there in about an hour, find my media seat, which I'm sure is way up in the rafters, and watch some high quality basketball tonight.
And I like Iowa. I'm picking Iowa to win, but South Carolina is such a juggernaut that like I believe Iowa's only hope in the national title game is either South Carolina somehow losing to NC State or them just playing a really, really off game and
Well, they
just.
played in the Final Four last year and Iowa beat them.
I thought was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
All
LSU beat
right.
Iowa in the championship. So I think Iowa beats UConn tonight. I think South Carolina beats NC State. And I got South Carolina over Iowa in the championship.
All right, well, I'm going with Caitlin Clark. So you're Caitlin Clark. Let's have her win a championship. That will do it for this edition of Lucas Lucas Podcast. Mike has to go to the Rocket Mortgage Field
I got a
House.
shower too. I'm
And he's on
stinking.
shower. He smells disgusting. You don't want to smell him right now.
We
But
both
that
got
will
to put
do it.
pants on too.
No, I always wear pants. See you guys next week.